place of expectation. And how many knows that, you know, we've only tapped into a little bit of God. I mean, God is awesome. And he's going to, in the coming days, he's going to reveal himself more and more to us. But if I was going to title the sermon tonight, it would be First Place and Final Authority. And, you know, I heard when I was a young Christian, you know, a lot of things I heard and learned, like Mac was talking about, wrong. You just heard stuff, people's opinion and different things, you know. And so when you get in the Word of God, see, the Word of God has to be first place and final authority. And people's asked me before, what do you mean by that? The word being first place, final authority. And I told them, I said, well, I said, you know, the Bible says, love your wife, husband, love your wife as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it. I said, I have to put that first. I said, I have to begin to love my wife like Christ loved the church. He gave you, I said, that's what I mean. And then no matter how she acts or what she does, you know, I stay with that scripture. That's putting God's word first and final. I mean, that's going to be, and that's just a basic thing of God's word, first place and final authority. Because I heard as a young convert, you know, that God is sovereign, and God is sovereign. He's God. I mean, he created the universe. He set the stars and the moon. He rolled back the Red Sea. I mean, he's God. I mean, absolutely, he is. He is, you know, God. But they had the sense, you know, and trying to give me the sense that God is just in control of everything, and whatever God wants to happen in my life will happen because God is sovereign. Well, when I begin to read the Bible, I find out that that's not so. I found out that the Bible says that God gave the earth to the sons of men. He gave it to us in the book of Genesis. It says, and so I had to start putting God's word first. I even asked my pastor, and I know he won't care for me sharing it one time, you know, and I was talking about, I'd read that in Genesis, you know, where God created man, right? And then he created, he took out of Adam's rib and woman came out of man. Then he told him, he said, go be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And I found out that ministry come after family. Come on, somebody. It was God first. It was Adam. It was Eve. It was multiply, then ministry. And so I told asked my pastor, I said, which one comes first, my family or ministry? And I mean, he hadn't really ever thought about it too much, you know. And he said, well, I guess ministry. I said, no. I said, God comes first, you know, my family. I said, because if I can't take care of my own house, how can I take care of the things of God? Scripture bears it out, you know. And so, but anyhow, God's word, first place and final authority. Then I begin to find out through the scriptures. And I want you, Beth, to put that John 16. I didn't know when I was going to do it, but God spoke this to me. This is Jesus. It's in red. This is Jesus. He said, how be it when he, talking about the Holy Spirit, and we know we have the Holy Spirit from the book of Acts. He told the disciples, he said, go tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And he said, then you'll be my witnesses, you know. So we have there is first place right there with the word. We have the Holy Spirit. When you get born again, he comes to abide with you, live with you, walk with you. He comes to guide you. He's the one that tells you, submit. Whenever she said, go pray. Because that's our natural reaction to stuff like that would be like, who does she think she is, man? I'm not qualified. See, but the Bible says that we have all been accepted in the Beloved, right? So that qualifies us. That qualifies us, and just like Mac was talking about, you know, and Johnny maybe a little more experience is all Johnny's got, maybe. See, experience and praying, you won't never develop if you don't pray for somebody. You got to start somewhere. And don't ever feel, see, and take God at his word. He says, I'm with you. I'm in you. The Bible says Christ in you, the hope. See, putting God's word first place. No matter what we feel, See, I learned a long time ago that we cannot live by our five senses. How we feel, our emotions are up and down. I can feel real good and Teresa be in a bad mood and say something a little sloppy to me, you know, and now I'm depressed. Or I can say something and now she's depressed. What is that? That's emotionally ruled. See, God's Word's not first place for me when I'm like that, because the Bible says that I walk by faith and not by sight. I walk by faith and not by feelings. I walk by faith and not what it looks like and not what it sounds like or not what it is. I mean, we have times in our life, but when we put God's Word first place and find authority in things and learn to do that, and I'm learning. I'm learning how to put it even deeper, you know, but he said here, he said, how be it when he, talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, he is the Spirit of truth. It's come, he will guide you. Somebody say, I'm led. And I've had people to say, well, I don't hear the Lord. That's not what the Scripture says. You got to put God's Word first, right? You got to take this Word and say, the Holy Spirit guides me. I'm led by the Holy Spirit. He says he will guide you into all truth. What is the truth? God's Word. And the Holy Spirit is truth. Went to the bank one time and I'm believing God to prosper, and we'll get some scriptures here in a minute, and I'm believing God to prosper me financially in my business, and not just that, in marriage and different things, you know, just endeavoring to do my best to serve the Lord and do what's right. You know what I'm saying? That's all we do. That's all we need to do. You know, and the Holy Spirit will teach us. Well, I went to the bank and I cashed a check and $400 or $500, whatever it was, and I pulled out and I counted it, and there was $100 extra in there, and I thought, praise the Lord. I said, thank you, Lord. Oh, I just got blessed, man. Blessed going to the bank. See, I was using Deuteronomy. Blessed going in, blessed going out, right? You know, extra $100, man. You know, and I pulled out on the road right up here, and the Lord said, he said, that's not yours. That's the Holy Spirit will lead me into what? And I thought, oh, man. So I go back. I thought, well, like God, I'm turning around going back, you know. But I know Christians that won't turn around and go back. You know, and that, why I'm saying that is, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? You know, if I mistakenly give somebody 100, it would be real good if they would bring it back to me. You know, but anyways, I go on and I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. I go on, you know, and I turn around and I go back and I pull in there to the teller, and she didn't know it. They ain't tallied up at the end of the day, you know. And I told her, I said, ma'am, I said, you cashed a check and you give me $100 to me. I mean, she didn't start crying, but she teared up. She said, I can't believe you brought that back, man. They would have took that out of my paycheck, you know, because it would have come up, my drawer would have come up $100 short, you know. And she said, man. She said, I really do appreciate you. She said, most people don't bring money back. You know, we have to make up for it. And I said, well, I'm a Christian. And I wasn't trying to toot my horn, you know. I mean, I'm like, God led me to bring it back. I was led by the Holy Spirit. Used to, I would steal the money in the bank if I thought I wouldn't go to jail. Figure out a way to get in there and rob it, you know. But anyways, what happened is, prosperity was able to come on me a little more. You know? Now I'm putting God's Word first place over here, and I'm saying, God, I thank you, Lord, that I'm blessed going in. Blessed. You need Deuteronomy 28. You need to go meditate on that, praise God, and learn how to put that Word first place and final authority. When you are plumb broke, you ain't got enough to pay your bills, you ain't got enough to make ends meet every week, that's when you do it. You do it then. You talk to God and you say, God, your word says I'm blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Well, I can't quote all that because you ain't meditated on it. Joshua 1:8, God spoke to me 28, 9 years ago when I was reading Joshua over there, and it said, meditate on the word day and night, then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. And I noticed that it didn't say God would make me. And so I asked God, I said, God, How come you didn't say you would prosper if he would do that? How come he said, because I was with him. He said, I was with him. He said, I'm with you. I'm for you. I'm not against you. Scripture says it. If God be for you, right? Scripture says it. And God is. God's for us. Before we were even born, in our mother's womb, God knew us. God had a plan according to Jeremiah 29:11. And you know, I told the Lord one time, I believe my daddy, he's been dead 35, 37 years, something like that, a long time. And I believe my daddy would have loved to have had tractors. He was a farmer, had 40 acres off the county road one over there. And Nita was one of them. That's my sister, by the way, Mac. And it's a blessing that she is here. And she's not available. I'm just kidding. I'm messing with you. But you know, I remember Dad getting up and teaming the mules and stuff up before daylight, and all the ones that went to school went and plowed and different things till the bus run. You know, and then Dad would plow it or whatever he did, take a nap, get up, and when the bus come in, the plowing was taking place in the afternoon. So after I got saved, you know, I thought, I wonder, because I don't think my daddy knew the Lord like I do, you know. Not meaning he didn't know Jesus, I don't know about all that, but he couldn't read or write and couldn't meditate on the Word, couldn't study the Word, didn't have cell phones, didn't have the ability that we have to punch up us a good preacher right quick and listen to sermons all day if we want to, or praise and worship, didn't have. So I thought, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I want every tractor. I want all the tractors my dad desired. I'm going to believe for him, bless God. And somebody told me, well, don't you think that's being greedy? No, it ain't. I'm taking back what the devil stole from my daddy. The Bible says in there, he said, they went to the enemy's camp and they took back what he stole from them. Well, you know what? I've never lacked too much for tractors. But when I started believing, and there's some people going to church here, and they made a garden and all of that stuff, and I'd had an 08 in Ford that I'd bought, 15, believe God. I believe God for a Ford 8 in. And I paid cash for it, $1,500, $1,800, I don't remember what it was. It was a lot of money back then. And I'm like, this blessing works, Proverbs 10:22 works. It's not that I'm going after the blessing, I'm going after God, and the blessing comes on you and overtakes you. You start having God desires to prosper. God desires the word and the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he said here. He said, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall what? Show it to you. He's going to bring revelation to you about your life, about your finances, about your, as you meditate and you grow and develop in putting God's word first place. All God wanted was the children of Israel to listen to what Moses said when he went down there and said, I've got a land flowing with milk and honey. You've been down here in bondage all these years, and I'm going to take you to a place that is flowing. You'll live in houses. You'll eat out of vineyards you didn't plant. You'll drink out of wells you didn't dig. He gave them a vision through his word. Moses was carrying what God said. And when they put God's word first place, then they're like, oh yeah, glory to God. Oh, we want to go to that land. And they come out, millions of them come out of there. And God told them, go borrow them gold vessels and go borrow. And the enemy didn't want to let them. There's a lot of sermons in there, and I can't get into all that. But anyhow, when they was taking God's word, well, God told me. He said they wasn't broke when I brought them out into the wilderness. He said they were rich. How did they built a golden calf while Moses was on the mountain to worship? How did they do it? It was gold. They buried gold. They had silver. The Bible says their clothes didn't, their shoes didn't wear out. All of that stuff. 40 years God kept them. But you know what? They got out there in the wilderness and they began to forget what God said because of the trials. Because of the, they got tired of not having what they wanted to eat. The leeks. The leeks. I wondered what leeks was. It's kind of like an onion. I didn't even know that they had leeks now. So, you know, I said, leeks, I wonder what leeks are. And I'm in there and I'm picking up me some seeds this year and it said leeks. And I thought, there it is. It's not onion, but it looks like an onion. It's a leek. I've never eaten a leek. Boy, they loved them. I would imagine I would too if I had a box of salt back there. But you know what? God showed me in there for my own life. You know, the Holy Spirit began to show me how come they didn't enter into the promised land. They died out in the wilderness. But they were some of them, Caleb and Joshua and the younger generation that didn't rebel against God. They got to go in and they got to experience that. And I told the Lord, I said, God, your word says that in John 10:10, this has been 30 years ago nearly, that Jesus died that I might have life and have it more abundant. And I studied that and looked into that, and it means to the full, till it overflows. That means I got a good marriage. That means I got a good ministry, good church, good people, good fellowship. The Bible says if you want friends, to show yourself friendly. If you want friends, be friendly. But if you want to be alone and by yourself and separated, then just be bitter. You know? I told the Lord one time, I said, I don't really want no friends. He said, you won't have none unless you do that. Put my word first place and final authority. See, we got to put God's word first place in final authority. You know, if we're going to have and live out God's best. But he said here, he said, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. What has God got? He said, the gold and silver is mine, says the Lord. That Jesus went about doing good and doing what? Healing all. Our words when we put our life, and it's a full-time job when you first begin to put God's word first place and final authority. If you're used to just bursting out and saying how you feel and saying what the doctor says about you, let that be the final authority, well, then you've got a little bit of a challenge to go. You know, but if you're going to put God's word first place and final authority, you'll get up into a place where praying will flow out of you, Mac. See, the Holy Spirit, He's in us. He's with us. He'll lead us and guide us. And everything that is God's, Jesus, He give it to Jesus. And everything that is Jesus, He said, the Holy Spirit's going to show it to you. He's going to reveal it to you. He's going to reveal. See, revelation is where you move from head knowledge. Faith don't come from the head. That's how come people can't believe. They get knowledge of God's word, but it ain't heart. See, the Bible says in Romans, it says, with the heart man believes, not with the head. It says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession's made. You know, and I thought about the scripture today over there in Proverbs 18:19. It says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And those that love it shall eat the fruit of it. And the Lord spoke to me one time, I wanted wisdom, and I heard a preacher say, if you want wisdom, he said, there's 31 chapters of Proverbs. Read a chapter of Proverbs every day for every month. He said, you got a chapter every day. So I started doing that, and I run across that, you know, and I just felt like I got to stop. What does that mean? I didn't even know what it means. Death and life is in the power. I thought, how is that possible? That death and I didn't realize that that our words carry healing or they carry death. Our words over our life, over our kids, over our grandkids, over our ministry. I mean, things don't happen in this ministry, hadn't for 20 years, longer than that. I've been here 22 years. I was 7 years evangelizing, and everything went good till people got involved. And I told God, I said, I was doing good till you told me to let these people. He said, I want you to grow. He said, I want you to be like me. I want you to be long-suffering. I want you to absorb wrong and not complain. How many knows that's what endurance is? Endurance is staying in a certain state without complaining about it. That's a challenge. You know, I mean, every one of us has opportunities every day to gripe and complain about the drivers at the four-way stop. Gripe and complain about things happening on the job. Gripe and complain about things happening in our families. Gripe and complain. But you know, Paul said, and it was even deeper than those little things. The Apostle Paul, he said, the Holy Spirit come. He said, and he revealed to me that everywhere I go, that I'm going to be in locks and troubles and bonds. He said, but none of these things move me. And so when we put the word first place and final authority, see, walking in love, God's been bringing it to us on love, the love of God, and walking in love and coming up higher. And this church loves one another. There's no doubt about it. I mean, every one of us have laid our lives down at some point in time for each other, doing it for Jesus. I mean, it's very evident that this church is a church that walks somewhat in the love of God, you know. But see, when it seems personal to us, is when we got to grow to where none of these things move us. You know, none of these things. I mean, me and Mac didn't get along real good at first starting with. But you know what? I've been in the Lord a long time, and Mac just had got saved. And Mac never seen me lose my temper that I know of. Mac did not, you know, And you know, I mean, when I've seen Mac, I treated him just like nothing had happened. I sure did. And in my heart, you know, that's heart love. You know, now if I'd have went by what it looked like, I could have thought, who does he think he is, man? I mean, he's arrogant. He's blah, 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 blah. Judgmental. All it would have been is I would have been judgmental. And so Mac made a conscious choice after the Holy Spirit went to him. You know, and he says, I just realized I made a major mistake. He didn't realize nothing, the Holy Spirit. It's because he's got the Holy Spirit now. And the Holy Spirit brings conviction. Conviction is not downing you and all that stuff. Conviction means you realize that the Holy Spirit, this is the Lord. That's what conviction, it's called convincing. He's a convincer. He convinced me that I'm wealthy and I didn't have a dime. I paid for a divorce one time, borrowed the money and paid for me and Teresa to get a divorce. And then we got back together the day before it was supposed to be final or whatever. And I couldn't get my money back from the lawyer. So I paid for a divorce that I never got. I had to make payments on that money, you know, that never happened, praise God. But you know what? See, when we got born again, then we had to begin to get rid of our past. We had to get rid of the mistakes we made to each other and against each other and quit saying things and bringing them up, bringing the past up. When we were just baby Christians, Satan tried to use it again. He'll try to get what I'm saying. I'm not just telling you my story. You got to put God's Word first place. And no matter what anybody does to us, if we forgive, I mean, we make a con. You don't have to feel it. It took me 6 months one time to forgive somebody that done me bad wrong, and I mean 6 months. And the Lord said, "Pray for them. Pray for them." I told the Lord, I said, "I don't want to pray for them. I want you to zap them." That's what Peter. Strike them, Lord. Cut the ear off. Strike them with lightning, God. And God would say, you don't know what spirit you're of. You know, but you know what? I took that opportunity and I didn't feel it for 6 months. 6 months. Somebody say a little longer. You've got to hang on a little longer sometimes. I mean, you've got to hold on to God's Word and say, God, I done released forgiveness no matter how I feel. And I mean, work on that. And you work on that. And you know what? I come to the place in that one instant right there because I chose to put God's Word first place. And when God told me to pray for him, that's God's Word. Right? That's not written Word at that moment. But that's in line with it, right? Pray for your enemies, right? Pray for those who despitefully. It's in line with the Word. This Holy Spirit is going to bring things in line in yours and my life, telling you what he's leading you to do that'll be in line with the Word, and then you are being a doer of the Word when you do it. And it brought me to a place to where I could get around that person and never have a thought. People have told me before, well, I can forgive, but I'll never forget it. And after I experienced that, I experienced that you can forget it. Right? If you ain't never experienced it, just go try it. And I mean, you make up your mind, pray God that you're free. And the Bible says, whom the Son set free is free indeed, right? So I went around saying all the time, because the Bible says that, I begin to put God's Word first place over my feelings, my emotions, my wanting to deal with it, my wanting to understand feelings and emotions and how they can be very strong at times. But the Word of God is stronger than feelings and emotions. And so I begin to put God's Word. I would go around saying, when I would have a thought, I would cast it down according to 2 Corinthians. See, the Bible taught me how to do this stuff. The Bible teaches us how God is and how God wants us to do. Then when we do it, this Holy Spirit right here quickens things to us, and then you feel empowered on the inside. You feel. So I walked around and I would say I'm a free man. Every time I'd want to get jealous of Teresa, I was a very jealous guy, both of us, you know. But we didn't know that jealousy was fear. It's totally fear-based. Jealousy. We call it jealousy. It's fear. And God has not given us a spirit of fear. Timidity, cowardness. That's what that word means, cowardness. Back up when things ain't good. Start crying and complaining when things are not. That's cowardless, really. We're supposed to walk by faith. And you know what faith does? Faith puts you in here like the devil might be coming 10 ways. Seeking circumstances might be coming 10 ways. But God will bring me through. Yea, though I walk through the valley, Psalms chapter 1 or 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. You might be going through a tough valley, but don't stop in it. Don't stop the process of God in that valley. He said, for he's with his rod, his staff. I mean, you know, and he says he makes us lie down. That season will end and you'll lie down in the rest of God. You'll experience the rest of God. God just don't just let battle after. Now, Satan can get in your mind. If you get Satan-minded, he's going to be in your car. He's going to be in your blowout. He's going to be in your oil pressure dropped. He's not in all that. He's in deceiving. Wanting me to believe that God's Word won't work for me. Wanting me to believe that I'm not the healed of God because I had a heart attack. Right? That's not me. That's his body. The you and me is on the inside. This body right here, you know, if our spirit comes out, this body's not you and not me. This body is just a vessel. And we can't let this vessel determine what we're going to believe and what we're going to have. We got to go by God's Word. See, I realized years ago, I read 1 Peter 2:24, and it says that by His stripes ye were healed, past tense. Well, 5 years go by and I read it and it says the same thing. I read it before the heart attack and the open heart surgery. I'm in better shape right now physically than I was before I had the surgery. Why? Romans 8:28 says He'll work all things together for the good. I stood on that when I couldn't even tote my plate. I stood on that when I couldn't walk from my house to my shop without stopping 2 or 3 times because I was so weak. And I quoted the scripture. Anybody know what it says, let the weak say? You don't say let the weak just call everybody and tell them how miserable I am and let them feel sorry for me and take, you know. No, it said let the weak say. I had to put that word first place. I had to put it. I didn't feel like it. I didn't feel like I'd ever recovered. You know, and I even Googled results of people that had open heart surgery and started reading some of the reviews, and I cut it off quick. None of them had a good report. They sewed me up this way, and they sewed me up that way, and boy, it's just been bad, blah, 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 blah. And I just cut that down. I don't need their results. I want my results. My results are right here in this Bible. Isaiah says that we recover speedily fasting when we fast. I mean, everybody in here needs to, maybe it's time for us to call a solemn assembly and call a fast. Praise God. Hallelujah. Satan messes with me sometime. I'll tell him, you know what? Just because you did that day after tomorrow, I'm going ahead and getting you ready so you can try what you... I'm going to fast day after tomorrow because you're trying this over here. Every time he tries something and I realize it, I just fast. He tries something in my business and I'll tell him, don't do that. You know better than messing with me like that. What does the Bible say the righteous are? Cowards? Right? It says the righteous are bold. Not bold against and arrogant towards people. But you know what? Get bold and arrogant against the devil. And you tell him, shut up, get out of my house. If he's bombarding your mind with thoughts constantly, just thoughts, negative thoughts, negative thoughts, that's probably not you. That's probably him or one of his little demons. So you need to get up and go ahead and anoint your house or whatever you need to do, or your car, turn you on some praise and worship, hallelujah. And the Bible, Paul told him in Philippians, he said, if there be, think on these things, whatever things are good, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report. And he said, if there be anything else, I'll reveal it to you. I mean, a job just recently could have cost me like 50 grand. And I mean, for 2 weeks, I had to cast thoughts down and before the doors come. I mean, 2 or 3 weeks, cast it down, because I thought this job was going to depend on this other job because it's linked to the same big company. And then I'd come back and I'd cast it down, and then I'd tell Satan, I'd say, you might as well shut up. My mind is my mind, and no weapons formed against me will prosper. See, you can't just cast a thought. You need to come back with the Word of God. You come back and combat it with the Word of God. Get your mind off. You can't be thinking something and me say my name, and say my name, keep thinking that. You cannot do it. You can't think two things at one time. Now, you might switch quick, and you think you are, but, you know. So, the mindset on the Word of God, the Bible says in Isaiah, he said, I will keep them in perfect peace whose minds are stayed on me because they're trusting in me. Well, when those thoughts come and get you to be like, oh man, that's not going to work. You're not trusting the Lord then. I mean, you got to learn that. You're not trusting Him. You're letting fear. Then your mind begins to tell you, well, what if that happens? And that's going to cost me. And that's not going to work out. And blah, blah, blah. You can't let your mind go on that. The Bible says, Romans 8:28, He works all those things if you let Him to your good. Hallelujah. And He'll cause you to bless your enemies. He'll cause you. I mean, I've had people mad at me before, praise God. And put that 1 John 5:4 up there, Beth. I set out that I'm going to prosper. I'm going to be a prosperous man. And all of these things that I'm talking about right here tries to stop that from happening. Our faith is what's involved. He said, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. He said, faith is the victory. See, if He can get you out of love, He'll get you out of faith. The Bible says in Galatians that faith works by love. The Lord told me one time I was going down the road and I looked off to my right over there and there was a bunch of ducks I think there was ducks. And it was winter time. Cold, man. I mean, I got the heater on and I looked over there and those ducks are just going down, you know, coming up. And I think, oh, man, they've got to be freezing to death out there, you know. And the Lord spoke to me. The Holy Spirit spoke to me like He does you. And He says, you got to be like those ducks. He said, they go in that element. He said, and I've created them that don't bother them. He said, I've created you in my image and in my likeness. He said, when you bear my image, none of those things that you're facing. And I was thinking about my life and all the trouble and the trials and all of that, you know. And I thought, so I went around saying it pretty often. I'd say, I'm like a duck, quack, quack. They'd be like, what? Scott, he's a quack now. He's a quack. And I'd be like, no, man, God told me to be like a duck. You know, that duck goes under that water. He ain't shivering. He ain't running over trying to find a fire. You know, the elements that he's surrounding himself with is not even affecting the duck. And the Lord, the Bible, then I thought about a scripture later on where it says that our life is hid in God through Christ Jesus. You got to come out of God. Come out of faith. The children of Israel didn't turn back and go try to cross the Red Sea. The Bible says they turned back in their hearts and limited. Psalms chapter 78. He said they turned back in their hearts and limited the Holy One of Israel. They simply quit believing in their heart. And then when good come, they couldn't even see it. They couldn't be thankful. I'm thankful for that song Travis leads us in every night. I just want to take a little time right now and say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. See, a thankful heart is the key to more of God. Having a thankful heart, I know it's a challenge at times when things are not in our favor, when things are going bad, or we suffer loss, or whatever, you know, but it's doable. I mean, it's doable to encourage ourselves in the Lord and let Him strengthen us and let Him enable us and empower us through this Holy Spirit. I don't remember where the scripture's at. It's in James, I think it is. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and have health, even as your soul prospers. God, I mean, he's speaking there, and I read that scripture one time, and I thought, above all things. God, you said above all things you would that I prosper and be healthy, even as my soul prospered. And I thought, I wonder what my soul is. Then, you know, God revealed it's my mind, my will, and my emotions made up of those three things. Your soul is made up of your thinking process, your will, what you're going to do. You know, you choose your will or God's will. I can choose to go to work tomorrow or not, right? My soul, the soulish part of us, are made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. That's why we got to know the will of God and endeavor to do the will of God. We don't follow this soulish man. And then he says, then you'll prosper and be in good health. I have challenges in my body all the time. You know, I mean, things come against me all the time. You know, last time we went done do an x-ray, they said, well, you know, it's arthritis. Come back up here tomorrow and the next day, and let's shock it and loose it up where it won't get stiff. I left there and I said, thank you, Lord. I just found out what's going to bow to the name of Jesus. I left there and I didn't settle for that. I looked at that doc and I said, I probably won't be back. I'm a working man. Well, I was talking about garage doors and work the word, work the word, work the word. And so I left there and I said, thank you, Lord. Your word declares that every name that has a name has to bow to the name of Jesus. And then I named off what that doctor said. And I commanded it. I said, you loose this body. This body belongs to God. I'm the temple of God. Hallelujah. And I command you, I named it. He said, everything that has a name has to bow. So you got to put it under the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so from that point till I'm completely free, far as I'm concerned, I'm standing on Mark 11. Anybody know what it says? Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it. And what did Jesus say? You what? Have it. See, now your mind, my mind can say, oh, that's impossible. Whatever I pray for, I can have it. Whatever I can pray for, I can have it. That's what he said. What's the problem? That's what he said. I told him one time, I said, I went and got a price and I was cleaning off that land over there. See, the Apostle Paul said, for the givers, the ones that were given into his ministry, he told them, he said, but my God will supply all your needs according to his riches. And I thought, when I read that one time, I thought, his riches? So I began to find out what God got somewhat. He owns the gold and silver's mine, says the Lord. Right? The earth and everything in it. Hallelujah. The cattle on a thousand hills. I thought, man, whoo, hallelujah. He'll meet my needs according to his riches. And I thought, well, how is heaven? There's going to be streets of gold, walls of jasper and onyx, man. You're not going to get up there on no dirt road. You ain't going to have no muddy rivers. You're going to have living waters flowing with life and all of that, you know. And I thought, man, praise God, God's going to supply all of it. So I got up and I got a price that was going to cost $35,000 to clean stumps off. See, whatever's in your life, you can sit here and think, well, he's just telling us stories. I'm not telling you stories. I'm testifying of what God will do for all of us. The Bible says he's no respecter of persons. What he will do for one, he will do for all, or he would be an unjust God, and he's not an unjust God. And so I thought, 35 grand, man. And I thought, whoo, I'd like to have track hole anyways. I like playing on that equipment now. You know, so I just brought an offering to the Lord, planted me a seed, and I told him, I said, thank you, Lord, for my track hole. I didn't have the money to buy no track hole. How many knows you don't have to have substance to believe God? If you're basing it on that, then you're never going to attain to much faith. Because you've got to believe without seeing. You can't be a doubting Thomas in there. He was merciful to Thomas. He said, but blessed are those that believe and cannot see. Can't see how your house is paid off under 30 years. You got to believe that house is yours and the Lord's. You can't see how your car, or you can get a trailer, or whatever I don't know. God knows what you have need of. And people have, the ministers told me, well, it said need. I told one preacher, I said, well, I need a pontoon boat. He said, it says need. I said, I told you I need one. Me and my family want to go out on the river out there, and we need a boat. I said, that's a need, ain't it? Well, I mean, if you put it that way, I mean. I said, so, but God, I'm just going to believe God because I need a pontoon. I need to bond with my family. I need to bond with Trout. I need to bond with Teresa. You know, we need to go catfishing. It's hard to get out there where the big barges are. And you can't throw that far, and that's where the catfish are at, eating all the feed out there. So, you know what? Me and Travis going down the road, down double bridges down there toward Pinson, and all of a sudden I seen the knuckle of what looked like a track hole. I couldn't see. It was just sticking up above that fence. I told Travis, I said, hey, I said, turn around. I said, that looks like a track hole down there. I'm looking for it. I'm going expecting it. See, the Bible says whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it. Well, if you believe you receive it, then you already got it before you get it. So you're looking for it. You're looking for it to come in. You're looking for your healing. You're looking for your men, your whatever. Well, we go down there and pull in there, and I said, that track hole over there for sale, it was a huge 55,000-pound machine, man. Oh, yeah, believe it or not, man, you come at a good time. He said, he's going under. This place is going under, and you can buy that thing. And I said, okay. I said, well, how much? He said, I don't know. I'll get in touch with him. Give me your number. You know, and I'll let you know. And I thought, I'm going to pay $6,000 for it. That's what I'm going to pay for it. So I left, didn't get too far down the road, and he called. He said, how much? He said, $6,500. I thought, well, I can compromise $500. That was a shocker to me. I'm thinking, man, 30, 40 grand. You know, and I said, I said, okay. I said, get the batteries in it, get it cranked up. I'm coming down. I'll come down there tomorrow. I went down there and prayed God. Anyhow, that ended up on my place. Praise the Lord. Cleaned that whole thing off. I got to enjoy it in the rain, in the mud. You couldn't stop that machine. I was hoping it rained when we get and go to work, man. I go jump in that baby and fire it up. Ooh, had one of them screaming Detroits in it. What I'm saying is, what I needed, God brought to me, and I cleaned the whole thing off for probably 8,000, fuel and all. Got to enjoy the machine, all that stuff. Dug ponds, man. Made the property worth a lot more. You know, they're not offering me enough right now. They send me letters all the time, and I just throw it in the garbage. I tell the devil, nah, you ain't going to con me, Jack. You ain't going to. Tracy, what are you going to do? I said, throw it in the garbage. When I get what I want, well, then I'll let them have it, praise the Lord. You know, see, when you're walking in faith and all, you're not desperate. You won't feel desperate and anxious. You know, the Bible says, don't be anxious for nothing but by prayer. See, if you pray, the anxiousness has to go. Whenever I feel anxious or anxiety or something, you know, trying to, I just roll it over on the Lord. Ain't that what the Bible says to do? Casting, put the word first. Casting all your cares over on the Lord because He cares for you. You know, put God's word first place. Develop. I mean, you know, sometimes we need to rest our mind. Shut your mind off. Just shut it off. Just stop thinking about everything. Stop trying to. I mean, there's a lot of mental warfare that goes on that Satan tries to keep our mind on. I feel the need to go look at my garden 6 times a day if I'm at home. I mean, it's not grew that much. But I feel the need to go. And sometimes I'll say, shut up, Satan. No, I'm not going to look at that garden. Bless God. Hallelujah. Just not going over there. Not going to look at that. Why? Mind control. You have the ability to control your mind. Satan will tell you things ain't going to work out. You tell him he's a liar. God's already worked it out. Now you're waiting on a manifestation of it. Praise God. So I want to encourage you, you know, make God's word first place and final authority. Whatever situation you're facing, there's something in the Word of God for it. Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him, when you read the Bible, ask Him. Say, Holy Spirit, reveal what's Jesus's that come from God, like John 16 said. Lord, reveal your plan to me in this. Reveal what you want me to do, Lord. Reveal where you want me to be. God's will is the most important thing in our life. Where we live, where we go to church. And we need to teach our kids and our grandkids that stuff. Not just get in the will of God ourselves, but we got to teach the next generation, you know, find God's will. And when you find God's will, whatever it costs you to do the will of God, you do it. You set out to do it, and God's grace will back you up. God's ability will back you up. God's anointing will be there for you, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So just look for God's best. Bleed to see God's goodness. In the land of the living, David said. He said, I would have fainted if I had. Praise God. And I've used that. I put that word first place in my heart. God, I'm going to believe to see your goodness like David did. And I'm not going to faint. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to grow weary. Praise God. Let's bow our heads.